This show furnished by Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervey. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervey, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn. And today, on this holiday weekend, I am here to be the managing partner of your life, but I can't manage your life without having a strong woman by my side. And Carrie's smiling. Happy holidays, Carrie Kasem.
Happy holidays.
It's so great to be here, although I'm looking forward to getting out of here because as soon as this is over, I'm going to Toronto to go skiing up in Canada.
So fun.
With my family. We're going to spend some time. So what about you? What are you doing for the holidays?
I'm actually going to take off and go to Florida for a few days.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
And it's not work-related?
No, not at all. Thank God.
Because you've been flying everywhere.
Yes. This is just some time in the sunshine with friends, and it'll be really nice.
And how long are you going to be there?
5 days.
Well, nice.
Yeah.
And you'll be back for New Year's?
I will be back for New Year's. I'm excited about that.
I was going to say next week we have a best of Gervey's Law. I'm still going to be in Canada, but we are going to play some of our better interviews, or the ones that we liked.
Yes.
And I'm trying to remember what we're going to play. We're going to play Gloria Allred.
We're going to play the guy who said it was probably one of the best interviews he had or something.
No, LeVar Ball. Yeah, when he said, Gervey, this is like the best interview I've ever had.
Yeah.
We're going to remember this interview. You're going to play this back.
Yes, Rabbi Shmuley.
And Shmuley's going to be on it.
Yes.
I think he's had some choice words when he was on the show. And of course, he talked about Michael Jackson, his friendship with Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was all over our show this past year.
It's very true.
You know, with different lawyers that we had, Tom Mesereau, Christopher Darden, some of the other...
Corey Feldman.
Yeah. Last week and the week before, which, by the way, that was really quite a show. You guys are buddies, you and Corey.
It's just funny catching up. It's crazy, all the memories that come flooding back from so long ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So those were good times for you?
You know, I was young. It was my second relationship I ever had with anybody. So no, it wasn't the greatest relationship, but we stayed friends. There was nothing, there's no cheating or anything like that. It just didn't work out.
Well, you don't know that.
Friends.
No, you know, you think there was no cheating.
No, I mean, I don't think,
you know,
but who knows?
I'm kidding. You know, he seemed like a great guy. I really enjoyed spending time with Corey, and I was impressed. I thought he was genuine and really a good person.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you probably know more than I do.
He's definitely telling the truth about this, and I know because I've known it for 20-something years, and I've heard it, and his story doesn't change. It's sad, and I'm glad, though, now he's getting to speak his truth.
And we're going to get a chance actually today to talk about movies because, you know, Corey was in some great movies in the past. Stand By Me is one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
And then I know you like The Goonies.
The Goonies is amazing. Gremlins.
Yeah. Gremlins.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And we had Chunk on the show from Goonies.
Was I here for that show? I don't think I was.
You didn't mean, yes, you were. You became best friends with him on Facebook like you always do.
No.
Jeff Cohn. Yeah, he's a lawyer
now. Oh my gosh.
Remember Chunk?
He played Chunk?
Yes.
Are you? Oh, God.
I give up. I really give up, folks.
Oh, no.
Carrie Kasem has no clue.
No clue that he played Chunk.
Yes, we talked about it the whole show.
Oh,
you
God.
You could not have been here.
That's hilarious.
Yes. But anyway, we're going to talk about the movies today. And we're lucky enough to have with us one of the top film critics in town, and he's been with Access Hollywood at Access Hollywood Live for so many years. Also has done work with NPR, The Today Show, and a number of other media outlets. Later on the show, by the way, and I know you're excited about this because you're a fan of Godless.
I am.
We're going to have Audrey Moore on, who plays Sarah Doyle on Godless, which is on Netflix. And that is a great show to watch over these holidays. I think there's only seven of them right now.
Yeah,
that's
I'm on
one
the fourth
season.
Episode. I'm on the fourth.
I think there's
episode.
Seven episodes. Yeah. So we're going to talk to Audrey later on, and she has an interesting podcast that she does for actors, helping them with issues, legal issues and others in the business. But first, I think we really need to talk about the movies, because the holidays for me is a movie time. I remember throughout history of my life,
yes,
staying home, not being in school, not being at work, and watching movies.
Absolutely. And who doesn't? I feel like that the holiday, even Christmas, I've done the Christmas movie once in a while. Not always, but the whole family. We'll have Christmas in the morning. It'll be wonderful. And then we'll go, if there's a big movie that's out, we'll go as a family.
Right.
Yeah.
It's special memories.
Yes.
And, you know, Scott Movie Mance, I call him Movie Mance. I don't mind. You don't mind if I call him Scott Movie Mance? Scott Mance is an expert. I mean, he has dedicated his time. You know, Genevieve Wong, who produces the show.
Yes, who I adore.
Yeah, and I do too. And she worked with Access Hollywood, and she just says, you know, he knows everything. He is a student of movies. And I want to bring Scott on right now. Scott Mance, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Well, thank you so much to Alan and Carrie, and big thanks to my friend and former colleague, Genevieve Wong, for recommending me to be on the show. Talk movies. If there's one thing I love to talk about, believe me, it is movies.
Yes.
Well, actually, Scott, we're not going to really talk about movies. We wanted to get your take on the tax plan, because this is a legal show.
Well, you know what? I have so much to say about it actually go beyond the hour that I don't even know where to begin. I'm actually useless to you in that, because there's so much that I actually have to say about it.
Well, we're going to have you back on, and we'll talk about some Supreme Court cases as well, as we often do on this show. But while we have you only for a half hour, we want to make sure that we talk about the bread and butter, and something that everyone is thinking about these days as we get into award season. Of course, the Oscar nominations will come out January 23rd, and the SAG Awards will be January 21st. Nominations have already come out. And I got to ask you something, because it's really, you are such a well-respected critic, but I read somewhere that your favorite movie is a movie that not a lot of people loved. And this may not be true. And I'm not saying, I know you're not saying this is going to win the award, but you talked about The Darkest Hour, which has to do with Winston Churchill, and people call it The Dullest Hour. Tell us what you saw in The Darkest Hour and why it's a good movie, in your opinion.
I'm glad you brought that up, because whether you love the movie or not, there's no question that Gary Oldman is the one to beat for his performance as Winston Churchill. It's a performance for the ages, and it's definitely the performance of his career. You know, Gary Oldman is just an actor who for like three or four decades now has really been knocking him out of the park with a variety of roles, going back to Sid and Nancy. But the reason I love this film is when I saw it at the Telluride Film Festival back in September, Labor Day weekend, I went to a late screening. It was a 9:45 p.m. screening. It was my third screening of the day, and I was exhausted.
I would have been asleep at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, and I went to this movie thinking, oh my God, this movie's going to put me to sleep. And I was riveted by the film. It is, if you've seen the movie Dunkirk, which came out over the summer,
right,
that was Christopher Nolan's movie, this movie is looking at the same event through the other side of the telescope. Winston Churchill's first month in office, when Great Britain was really at the mercy of the Nazis. And you really felt the urgency, the immediacy, the desperation, just that hanging on by a thread of a country ready to surrender to the Nazis. And Winston Churchill really rallying the troops, literally and figuratively saying, no, we will not surrender. We'll go down with the ship before we surrender. And it's not just about Gary Oldman's performance. I was fascinated by the film. I felt the desperation. I felt the suspense and the intensity. I really felt like I was there in the moment, down in the bunkers with all the officials, including Winston Churchill.
Yeah, but Scott, you know, you're an intellectual. Not a lot of people are as intellectual when they approach movies, you know, and I know that you did it, and I'm going to ask Carrie about this, because The Last Jedi, I know you didn't like it as much as so many people do, and Carrie's a huge Star Wars fan.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and my fiancé went and saw it without me. I was traveling, and he had to see it the day it opened. He got tickets months in advance, or whenever it came out. He had them, right? and I had to take off for work, so I missed that. We had tickets and I couldn't go. So I'm going to go see that. I've heard so many mixed reviews. I've actually seen people who hate it, and people who love it say it's the best thing they've seen.
Well, here's the thing about The Last Jedi. The critics' reviews on the Rotten Tomatoes, the movie review website, you know, the database, were at 93%. That is a huge rating. It's certified fresh. That is one of the best ratings a Star Wars movie ever got. The critics really loved it. Keep in mind, many of those critics were at the world premiere in L.A. at the Shrine. They were in the room where the energy in the room was absolutely infectious. And that energy can definitely seduce people into really liking a movie, maybe more than they, maybe, I'm not saying it did, but maybe that did have an effect on their opinions of the film, and they just all tweeted about it. Now, my first reaction when I saw the film was very mixed. It was great to see Mark Hamill back as Luke Skywalker, and it has a couple of good moments in the film, but overall, I thought it was very long. The middle part really dragged. There were a couple of subplots that didn't really pan out to anything and did not hold my attention. I hate to say it, but I did get bored. And it also, on the whole, lacked imagination. When you look, and listen, Carrie, I am a massive, massive Star Wars fan as well, ever since I was 8 years old in 77, when I saw the original Star Wars film, which now we call A New Hope. But Empire Strikes Back is not just the best Star Wars movie by far, it's the only Star Wars film that transcends the genre, and it's really just a great movie, period, one of the best movies ever made. That movie was brimming with ideas and imagination and a philosophy and a spirituality, and of course, one of the best plot twists in movie history when you find out who
Luke and Leia
is.
Right.
You know, we have to take a quick break. Scott, we have to take a quick break. We do want to talk about movies that you think will maybe win Best Picture, and we'll talk about that. We want to also talk about any of the legal movies this year, because we want to kind of have that connection to this law
show. I have a couple of legal movies that I saw.
And by the way, we did have Dan Gilroy from Roman Israel Esquire on the show, and he was a great guest. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We're going to be back after the break with Scott Movie Mans to talk more about the movies. Stay tuned.
Attention small business owners, you know how hard it is to get funding to grow your business. Next Wave Funding is a direct funder that can help you get the cash you need when you need it, even if your credit is not that great. If you've been in business for over 1 year, have at least $12,000 in sales every month, Next Wave will purchase your future earnings and give you the money you need. It's as simple as that. This is by far the easiest and best funding for existing businesses. Call 800-430-4566. That's 800-430-4566.
Yes! The Johnsons don't have that inflatable musical snowman switched on tonight.
Yeah, I may or may not have accidentally on purpose cut the wires.
I love you. Alexa, play holiday music.
You're my prisoner.
Tens of millions of songs, one for every moment. Amazon Music Unlimited. For a limited time only, sign up today and receive 3 months for 99 cents at amazon.com/musicunlimited. Automatically renews, cancel anytime.
Yes! The Johnsons don't have that inflatable musical snowman switched on tonight.
Yeah, I may or may not have accidentally on purpose cut the wires.
I love you. Alexa, play holiday music.
You're my prisoner.
Tens of millions of songs, one for every moment. Amazon Music Unlimited. For a limited time only, sign up today and receive 3 months for 99 cents at amazon.com/musicunlimited. Automatically renews, cancel anytime.
Attention small business owners, you know how hard it is to get funding to grow your business. Next Wave Funding is a direct funder that can help you get the cash you need when you need it, even if your credit is not that great. If you've been in business for over 1 year, have at least $12,000 in sales every month, Next Wave will purchase your future earnings and give you the money you need. It's as simple as that. This is by far the easiest and best funding for existing businesses. Call 800-430-4566. That's 800-430-4566.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we are back on this holiday weekend. I'm Alan Gervie. I'm here with Carrie Kasem.
This is my favorite holiday song, Carol of the Bells. Is this Trans-Siberian Orchestra? What is this? Who is this? No, because they're a little fiery. They're a little more fiery.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The violinist.
Not the Trans-Siberian.
The violinist, yes, no. You're right.
We're talking to Scott Manns, who is the film critic on Access Hollywood and Access Hollywood Live, and he also contributes to a lot of other media with his movie reviews. He's at Movie Manns, M-A-N-T-Z, and tweeting quite a bit, often talking about some of the movies that we talked about in the first segment. Now, Scott, I want to turn quickly to movies that you think will do well. And this year, it seems like it's a hodgepodge. Usually, we know going into January that the certain movies are the front runners, and there's two or three that it's going to be up against. And for the actors and the actresses, we know who is the leading nominees, but it doesn't seem that way this year, does it?
Well, nah, that's a very, very, very good point. The last 5 or 10 years, going into award season, especially by the time we get to January, we usually know who the front runner is to win Best Picture, even if one of those movies wins for just 90 seconds. Of course, I'm referring to La La Land,
right,
which was my number one favorite movie of 2016. Mm. And from the time I saw it at Telluride in September of 16, all the way to the end of February, it was my top pick of the year. And it was, in my opinion, the one to beat for Best Picture. And all the other critics and journalists and Oscar pundits and experts all had that movie to win Best Picture. And then, of course, we saw what happened at the Oscars with the envelope,
right,
the envelope mistake, and it was Moonlight. But Moonlight and La La Land were the two top contenders and frontrunners. This year is very different. A lot of really good movies, but none of them are really like the one. There's no movie that's a standout that everyone can bet the house on to win Best Picture, but there are a lot of contenders that could take the prize. In my opinion, Best Picture comes down to maybe 3 or 4 films that have very, very strong possibilities. One of them came out almost a year ago, and that was back in February. That was Get Out,
mm-hmm,
written and directed by Jordan Peele. This was a horror thriller that had a huge message and had a lot to say about racial stereotyping, and it was smart and suspenseful. It was kind of funny, unpredictable, and really stirred a lot of conversation. I feel like, you know, this movie really does have a strong shot to win.
And haven't you gone on record saying that you think it will be the winner?
Really? Get Out?
I would say Get Out. And not only, here's what makes this movie really unusual, Alan and Carrie, is that if Get Out wins,
yeah,
it'll be the first time since 1991 that a movie that came out in February went on to win Best Picture. That movie back in 91 was also a horror thriller. That was The Silence of the Lambs.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yep, I knew that.
And the reason I'm giving Get Out the edge, because it has something to say.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, here is a film that is all about racial stereotyping, deconstructing that, actually.
But Silence of the Lambs
fun way
was so beautifully acted and so well written. And so I watched the scenes between Jodie Foster and Anthony Hopkins over and over. They were so good.
That's a masterpiece film, no question about it.
Yeah, so I don't know if Get Out was fun. Get Out was surprising. Get Out was like, whoa, okay, I didn't see that coming. It was fun, but it was very well, you know, received and talked about. But Best Picture?
Possibly.
What about The Post?
The Post, you know, here's my opinion about The Post. First of all, here's a film about newspapers. And 2 years ago, a film about a newspaper won Best Picture. That was Spotlight.
Spotlight, mm-hmm, right.
And mm-hmm, I highly doubt that they're going to give another movie about newspapers a Best Picture win just 2 years later. And also, to be brutally honest, I think The Post is overrated. I mean, I love Steven Spielberg as a director. He is my favorite director. Got a great cast, Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep. But there's something a little dull about the way the story is told. I mean, you have a movie like All the President's Men, which this is comparable to. That is a riveting, absorbing, engrossing, fascinating film that sort of like builds momentum as it goes along. And I didn't feel that way about this movie. And I know a lot of people who talked about it, who I've spoken to, who said, yeah, it's good, but is it great?
Right.
And they're like, I don't really think so, but it's the pedigree of Spielberg, Hanks, and Streep that does make this a contender, even though personally, I think if a movie like this won, it would just sort of be like, well, it's the prestige factor versus the fact that it's actually a great movie. I would rather see it go to a film like The Shape of Water, directed by Guillermo del Toro. This is a wildly imaginative movie, a fusion of many different film genres about a love story between an amphibian humanoid and a mute janitor played by Sally Hawkins. And it is a brilliant movie. It's a beautiful love story, a very unique love story. The cinematography, the music, the inspiration behind this film, it's a majestic film. And it did lead the way at the Critics' Choice Award nominations with 14 nominations. And just today, it was awarded Best Picture by the LA Online Film Critics Society. So it already has a lot behind it to make it a strong contender.
Let me ask you this, because I've seen a few movies that I thought were really, really well done, like Three Billboards, Ebbing, Missouri, which Frances McDormand was amazing. I saw Molly's Game, where Jessica Chastain was incredible. Oh, let's talk a little bit about, who you think might take Best Actress and Best Actor.
Okay, well, Best Actress, you mentioned Three Billboards.
Mm-hmm.
Great choice, because that film, I thought, first of all, it's another contender to win Best Picture, but when you watch Three Billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri, and if you're listening right now, do not miss this film,
because
it is a fantastic movie, amazing performances, and it's so layered and dense, and all the characters, no matter how much screen time they have, are so dynamic and fully realized. And Frances McDormand, who already has a Best Actress Oscar for Fargo,
right,
I think is the one to beat for Best Actress this year for her performance in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
So
she
good.
Is
yes.
sensational in this film. She's terrific. And also Sam Rockwell,
mm-hmm.
I feel like he's certainly, in my opinion, one of the two best contenders for supporting actor. The other contender for supporting actor being Willem Dafoe from The Florida Project, which is a very majestic, enchanting film about a rundown motel outside of Disney World in Florida. And he's the kind-hearted hotel manager. And, Willem Dafoe was nominated for two Academy Awards, one for Put and the other for Shadow of the Vampire, and he's great in this film. But I love Sam Rockwell.
He's so good.
Billboards.
He did one of my most favorite films, Moon. Did you ever see Moon?
Moon is great. 2009, that movie came out.
Such and a good... Alan, you have to see this film. I tell everybody, what's one of your favorite films? Moon. Go watch Moon. It's so
Moon
good.
Moon is great.
Yeah,
Moon is great. And he plays performances in that film.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a hint on why you should see it. But the other film, I mentioned Best Actor. I mean, it's Gary Oldman's to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Best Supporting Actress, that brings me to another film that if you haven't seen it, you're missing out. This movie is I, Tonya.
Oh, she's so good in it. Oh, my God.
Alyssa Janney as
Tonya
Harding's mother is scary good.
So good.
She is
so good.
So amazing. First of all, she has 7 Emmys, okay? She has 7, count 7 Emmys. Like, I think 4 of them are for The West Wing. And she is so scary good as Tonya Harding's mother. Margot Robbie also looking at an Oscar nomination at the very least for her performance as Tonya Harding. Here's why I, Tonya is a great film. It is not what you think it is. It's not just about the Nancy Kerrigan incident.
Mm-mm.
It's about her life leading up to and after that moment. It's her life story.
You actually feel bad for her. I never liked Tonya Harding at all. Never have. And I never believed her that she didn't know about it. After watching this film, now I have a question in my head about that, and you actually feel for this person and how she grew up.
This movie will change your perception of the incident. It does not treat Tonya Harding as a punchline or like a punching bag. It treats its character, it treats its lead with a great deal of empathy that it will change the way you feel about Tonya Harding, just like it did for you.
Real quick, Margot Robbie, though, I have to say this. Margot Robbie, one of the most beautiful actresses of the day. I thought, why would they cast somebody that looks like a supermodel playing Tonya Harding? They have done such a great job, really, really, like, just making her look simple and kind of trashy, because she didn't have, the money to buy the skating outfit. She didn't have the makeup and the hair. And they really did a great job with making her look, like Tonya did.
Margot Robbie is terrific.
She's
in this film, and she is an actress who is really embracing her acting talent instead of just her physical appearance. Because, yes, you're right, she is absolutely gorgeous. But when you watch a film like Wolf of Wall Street, or definitely I, Tonya, you see that she is the real deal.
Yeah.
She is a top actress. I mean, in terms of my favorite actresses working today, like Jessica Chastain, Emma Stone, Amy Adams, I definitely think Margot Robbie is in my top 5 of the best actresses working today. She's magnificent in I, Tonya.
Scott, we only have a minute left. We didn't talk about legal movies.
No.
What,
Well, yes, we did. Molly's Game. That's all about a lawsuit.
Okay, let me ask you, before we let you go, Roman Israel Esquire, what are your thoughts?
I thought Roman Israel Esquire was a good film. It was a solid film. I thought Denzel was terrific in the movie. And I'll tell you, it was better than I expected, because I just thought it was going to be, you know, this defense attorney, his mentor passes away, and he's on his own. I thought, if, you know, the movie sort of was going to write itself. I didn't realize it was going to go places where he was going to have a crisis of conscience.
Right.
And he was going to question the very things that made him want to be an idealistic defense attorney in the first place. So I give a lot of credit to Dan Gilroy and to Denzel Washington for crafting this movie into being something very different. And it was better than I expected.
Good.
And I really do recommend it. I know what people think it's going to be, because I was one of them, and I'm totally surprised.
One last question. If people have to see one movie this holiday season, give us the movie.
Okay, if you have one choice.
Yeah, one choice.
You gotta make it The Shape of Water.
Yeah.
This is the movie I was talking about, Guillermo del Toro, starring Sally Hawkins and Richard Jenkins and Michael Shannon. It is a magnificent, inventive, imaginative, deeply moving love story, unlike any love story you will ever see. It's the one to see this holiday.
Okay, we will do that. I will
definitely
take your recommendation. It's a very strong recommendation. Scott Manns, thank you so much for being with us today. We'd love to have you back around with the Oscars, so we can figure out who the heck is going to win after we see the nominations. They come out January 23rd. You can follow Scott at Movie Manns, M-A-N-T-Z. Scott, enjoy the holidays. Happy holidays to you and your family, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Talk to you next time.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We're going to be back after this message. We're going to talk to Audrey Moore of Godless. For the Godless fans, don't miss it. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
It's the hottest gift this holiday season. And whether Santa lugs it down the chimney. Or you gift it to yourself. Make sure to say,
Alexa, enable the KABC AM skill.
Okay.
For the gift that keeps on giving. 790 KABC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers, and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW, or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What happens next? Rising inflation drops in the dollar's value. Some experts say another crash is coming. You can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins in an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. Call 855-858-5807 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation. Call Augusta Precious Metals right now at 855-858-5807 and get a free gold IRA guide. Call 855-858-5807.
Geico presents unhelpful home improvement how-tos.
Overhanging trees present a real danger. During high winds, falling branches can damage roofs and windows. So today, I'll show you how to protect your home by wrapping it in bubble packaging. All you need is a staple gun and 142,000 feet of bubble packaging. Let's get started.
You could try to protect your home with bubble packaging, or you could get covered for personal property damage through the Geico Insurance Agency. Call Geico and see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, you are listening to Gervie's Law. The Wild West?
This is Will Smith.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I know you're a big fan of Godless, and this isn't anything like Godless.
No, that doesn't really, no, that's not the music from, well, but it's the Wild West.
It is the Wild West from way back. There was no real rap or anything like that back in the day. And in fact, in Godless, there aren't even a lot of men. For those of you who have not been watching Godless, E.T. says that if you're looking for a new series to binge watch over the holiday break, we highly recommend Godless.
Yeah.
And Rolling Stone says, Godless, why Netflix brutal, timely Western is a must see.
And it is brutal. And I usually don't watch. I don't like violent. It's hard for me, especially with animals. And there's a lot of like animal death, a lot of death, but it's so good. I'm pushing through the violence because I really like the fact that it's these strong women characters. They're awesome. And there's some really great guy characters too, but I like it for the women.
One of those strong women is going to join us right now. We're going to speak with Audrey Moore, who plays Sarah Doyle in Godless. And interestingly, when I heard the name Sarah Doyle, it brought back memories of my college because Sarah Doyle was the Women's Center was named after at Brown University.
Oh,
it's the Sarah Doyle.
Yeah. That's
and
cool.
And Audrey Moore has the honor of playing Sarah Doyle, and she's joining us right now here on Gervie's Law. Audrey Moore, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hi, thank you. Thanks so much for having me. How are you?
We are doing great. Happy holidays to you.
Oh, thanks. You too.
Did you know that the Brown University Women's Center was called the Sarah Doyle Women's Center?
I didn't actually know that, but what I was told was that my character was named after the writer and director Scott Frank. His daughter had a horse trainer, and the horse trainer's name was Sarah Doyle.
Oh.
Wait, it can't.
But you don't train horses, do you? I mean, I'm only on episode four. Yeah, yeah.
No, Sarah Doyle does not train horses, but it is a great Western name. And
but, you know, interestingly, please do some research on the Sarah Doyle Women's Center because back in the day, back in, I think Brown's been around for a couple hundred years, in the late 1700s, Sarah Doyle was instrumental in bringing women to the college and opening up the college to women where it had been an all-men school. So there's,
I love that.
Yes.
I love that. I'd say that's probably no surprise. I'm sure that Scott Frank knows that.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if he went to Brown or he had someone who was at Brown because Sarah Doyle is the name that's synonymous with women's movement, at least at Brown. So, and that's something that's important in Godless. How has this changed your life? Because you've been, you know, you've done a lot of projects, you've done a lot of acting, and you have a great podcast we're going to talk about a little bit later called Audrey Helps Actors. But this is so, Godless is so meaningful.
Yeah, Godless is really the timing of it being about a town of women who are survivors who, for those of your listeners who haven't seen the show, it starts out as a town of women where all the men have passed on in a mining accident, which is something that used to happen actually very frequently in the West. And, you know, we've never seen that story before. Whenever you think about Westerns, it's always, you know, just men riding around on horses killing each other. And if there's a woman involved, she's usually just the damsel in distress. And this time around, you really have an entire town of women banding together as sort of a force, taking up arms to protect themselves and each other.
And I love the fact that, you know, Mary Agnes, played by, is it Merritt or Marit Weaver?
Merritt Weaver. Yeah.
She's like out drawing people and she's got, her husband died. She's wearing all of her dead husband's clothes. She becomes like this man and I love it. It's like she had to take over. Somebody needed to stand up and she not only did, you know, as a woman, but as she put the clothes on, the hat,
Something that is not well known in about the West and women of the West is actually, you know, women of the West is a big part of the women's movement in the founding of our country. As you may have gotten to in the series, you know, the richest women in town were actually the women who ran the whorehouse.
That's right,
Because of that, they used to fund entire towns, and they were the reasons banks got set up and shops came. And so because of that, I think it was in Montana, you know, the first state where women were actually allowed to vote, Ford, I believe, was in Montana, where they were able to vote because the women ran that entire state. And so, you know, it was really pivotal. And all those gun movements that you see Merritt do, all of that sort of stuff, that's so great. We actually trained and learned all of that. And every single thing that you see anybody do, you know, the women really spent weeks before we even started shooting just working with guns, doing, learning tricks if you needed to know tricks, learning to ride horses, get really good on a horse.
So you actually went to a cowboy camp.
Of course,
so executive producer Steven Soderbergh. And they made sure that everything was real and that this wasn't something that you were just picking up for the first time.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we've sort of gotten a little bit tired of, you know, so much CG effects and all that sort of stuff. And there's such a craving to see, you know, real things and people really holding a gun and working it and people really on horses and going across landscapes and the real wonder and the beauty of that. And I think the authenticity of that really speaks to an audience now in a way that really touches you and moves you. So we did the cowboy camp and we, you know, it's quite hard, you know, I'm sure. As
can imagine.
I mean, twirling all those guns and all that sort of stuff.
It's a real Western. It is, you know, it goes back to in the day, you know, these people could handle guns. They could really ride horses and it's real. There's not a bunch of like CG riding. And in fact, I don't think there's any CG riding.
I don't believe there's any CG riding. No, I mean, the horses that we had, the best wranglers on town, the best stunt crew, and they really did a good job. They took us out several times a day for several weeks, just making sure that we understood how to ride a horse and that, you know, we felt comfortable because they're animals that you're working with and you want to respect them and you also need to work with them.
Absolutely. I rode horses my whole life. So every time I watch somebody ride, I've been hunter jumper. I've been like in competition my whole life. I've been on a horse and I've been shooting guns. I'm like, this is my show. I want to be on this show.
You should be on
this
show.
I'm like, I want to be an extra on that show.
And Audrey, it's funny because Carrie also talks about the beauty of New Mexico. And she was telling me before we got on the air, she was saying watching Godless is just like, it's God's country.
No, but it is. Yeah, I'm going to kill Jan. I really, he puts words in my mouth. It's hilarious. He'll start saying, and she told me this. I'm like, did I?
Yeah.
No, but I love New Mexico. I love Taos. I love Santa Fe. I've spent a lot of time there. And what a treat to get out there and to be able to work out there and, like, you know, just be on location in such a beautiful place. So
I mean, that was really important for me. I'm actually born and raised in New Mexico.
Oh.
So it was extra special for me because I got to go back home and work and really, you know, I have a cabin in the Jemez Mountains up in New Mexico I have friends in Santa Fe. So what was really a treat for me was to really be able to show everyone else in the cast the real beauty and wonder of that state and all of its history, all of its Native American culture, which Godless touches on, and just really the true gritty nature that is required for people living in that state and is a part of that state's history.
And let's not forget 10,000 Waves.
Oh, let's
never forget 10,000 Waves. It's like the best
spot. Absolutely. That's right. If you've not been to Santa Fe, 10,000 Waves, go get a massage and stare at the stars. It's amazing.
After you go through all the roughing it.
That's right.
Exactly. That's hilarious.
Now, a lot of people have written about Godless about some of the meaning, not only with women and their ability to take care of business and be in the forefront, but also about relationships and how the different relationships, whether it's a son and a father or a daughter, and how it shapes. This show actually has something to say about familial relationships and what's important in life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you lose an entire town of men, as anyone who's been through tragedy, right, of such a ginormous scope, it always really puts those that you love in the forefront and really makes you appreciate those that are still with you and sharing this time on earth with you in the physical sense. And when you live in that time period, people, you know, they just don't really have, we forget that if families were so large, you know, women were having kids any time they got pregnant, they had kids, and if the child survived, the child survived. And, you know, family really was everything. You worked the land together, and the people that you live next to, they worked the land with you. And it really was community-based, and that's something that we really felt in this town working together. It was so beautiful working with just this group of women all taking care of each other, both in front of the camera and also off of the camera, and really building those sort of family bonds. You know, being from New Mexico, I know what it's like to have ancestors who are from the Wild West, and you have to take care of each other, love each other. Nothing is guaranteed. No day is guaranteed. No meal is guaranteed. So in that sense, it really brings forth a really beautiful sort of cap to the holidays of really appreciating everything that you have.
And do you think there's an underlying theme of the celebration of religion and men, mm-hmm. even mm-hmm. with this kind of woman's gunslinger scene, but having something that is more important than just a gender differentiation?
Absolutely. I mean, to me, it's really is, you know, people and this town as a whole coming together in the end. You know, you have this few surviving men really are a big part of the survival of this town. And as you'll see, as you get to the finale, they really play a big part in sort of just an ensemble of how we all come together and rise up for our safety. And even though the title is called Godless, which really refers to how hard that land is, you know, it seems to be unforgiving, mm-hmm. but in truth, the amount of incredible faith that it took to journey westward is really a true testament to people and their belief in whatever their God was. And, you know, their final episodes, you'll see there's a really beautiful...
Don't say
beautiful,
anything. Don't give
I'm
anything
not gonna,
away.
I'm not spoiling it.
The spoiler alert.
Beautiful poem that is about love and about community and about loving people that are here with you on Earth, and I, it really ties it up so well,
you know,
and so beautifully.
And I love the fact that there's, you know, the women are building everything, and there's this church they're building, and I think the character Sadie Rose keeps waiting for the preacher to come. She keeps waiting for the preacher to come, and she's so cute. And but it's brutal. It is so scary, and it is so brutal. And the opening scene to this is like, are you kidding me? I mean, it is.
Yeah, Kaylee Carter, who plays that actress, she is so incredible, and she really embodies that sense of keeping faith alive, you know, which is something that the town has to have the entire show.
Audrey, we have to take a quick break. We want to talk a little bit more about Godless and how people can watch it and whether there'll be another season. We also want to talk about Audrey Helps Actors, your podcast.
Great.
We're going to do that after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
To your nephew, to your neighbor's cat. And of course, you absolutely totally got everything you wanted for yourself. There's nothing else you could possibly think of getting. But did you check eBay? Check eBay Fashion and get unmissable deals on all the styles you really wanted this holiday season. Like up to 70% off the hottest fashion brands like Adidas, Steve Madden, and Calvin Klein. eBay end of season sale going on now. eBay. Fill your cart with color.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458. 800-481-1458 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Well, there may not be that much time to call because we only have 10 minutes left. We're talking to Audrey Moore of Godless, Netflix Godless. And Audrey, we've had a lot of people actually calling and texting us wanting to know how they can watch it because there's been 7 episodes filmed, right?
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, 7 episodes. It's available streaming on Netflix. It is definitely binge-worthy. So when you're, you know, sort of overloaded with cookies and goodies over the holiday season. And, you know, Netflix also has this great thing now where you can actually download things onto your device so that way you can use it without internet when you're flying. So if you want something to watch.
And thank God for that.
Flight,
let me tell you, it's so useful.
It's so useful. So if you're looking for something, you know, to get you through that flight, then that's a really great option for you as well.
And I know there's talk of a second season, but you don't know yet whether you will be doing it.
That's right. But we would love it. You know, as you'll see from as it ends, there's definitely some questions left to be answered. And I think, you know, you had talked a little bit about the town. And I feel that I just want to say to anyone listening, you know, what makes it unique is definitely the fact that there is it's a town full of women. You know, the frontier is female. But if you are a general Western fan and you like to see, you know, people going at it with guns, it is really a traditional Western in so
plenty
many
of that.
Senses.
Plenty.
And there's plenty of that. And you will definitely, if you are a Western fan, you will love it. And if you want something different from a Western, you'll also really love it.
It's gotten so many great reviews. I'm sure that it would be smart to bring it back.
Yes.
There's questions, as you're saying, left unanswered. And there's a lot of reasons why I think a lot of people want to see a second season.
Besides the cast, too, I have to say, Jeff Daniels plays the scariest bad guy. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's always been a favorite
he's
of mine.
He's so good. He's
so
good.
He's so versatile. Speaking of versatile actors, you are doing something, and it's, you know, Christmas season. You have been helping actors out with your podcast, and a lot of people don't realize there are so many actors. A lot of them are maybe not working as much as they would like to or don't know enough about the business or some of the legal or some of the business aspects of being an actor. And in fact, I've spoken to a lot of entertainment law firms about workers' compensation, and a lot of actors and a lot of productions have been interested in having me speak to them. So maybe someday I can come on your podcast and talk about that. But tell us about Audrey Helps Actors.
Well, Audrey Helps Actors is a podcast available on iTunes, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you can Google Play, anywhere you find your podcast. And I created the podcast because there was really seemed to be a lack of information out there. For most of what's out there for actors is either for people who are like Tom Hanks, who are already famous, you know, or people who are just starting, like, how do I get a headshot? And the majority of actors really fall somewhere in between that. The majority of actors are working actors, working a handful of jobs a year, making enough money to make their rent. They have better years. They have slower years. And really giving people the information they need so that they feel normalized. And I just tell people I want them to have information, compassion, camaraderie, empathy, So we do. We talk about lots of SAG rules, how to find missing money in some of your paychecks. Sometimes, you know, you might do a commercial and they just forget to pay you for a cycle. And it's nobody being a bad person. It just is accounting and it happens. And most actors don't read their checks. And so, you know, many actors can discover that they should have been paid $15,000. And so they file a claim and get that money. And
now, do you ever talk about like auditions and how people can be so nasty during auditions?
Yes.
I'm telling you, I think that's one of the reasons I quit acting so many years ago. How mean people can be.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think part of the reason why people are mean is because there is this sort of like, it's like it's a secret business, right?
Yeah.
And part of what happens is people don't tell each other how to do better because everyone feels like they're competing against each other. And I really feel that the more information we all have, then the better we can all sort of rise together. I really believe in knowledge is power. 100%.
And you helping people out, you never know what's going to come to you.
Right.
I mean, I tried out for the Pussycat Dolls, right? And there
was
a girl named Melody. Beautiful, beautiful black girl. So pretty. And I remember she was 17 and she had to go back with her mom and they lived in Arizona. I said, stay with me. You're going to get this. And it was, she was up against me. They were picking two people. I made it to the top 10. And she made it. And she never forgot that. And Robin Anton said, I'll never forget that. I've never seen anybody do that.
And you've been angry ever since.
No, but she called me back for so many shows after that. You know what I mean?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Generosity to each other really goes a far way. I just think people, you know, don't think about it. And I just want people to have information. So we have a publicist come on. We have a branding stylist come on. We have agents, casting directors. And we do a lot of the podcast is talking to the working actor, the working class actor, and helping them get from maybe a lower, like what I call like a phase one of like you're making some credits, maybe few jobs a year, but you're not really making a living, to actor, to moving up to phase two, which is like really making a living, but not quite
known yet. I just listened to one, the Holiday Survival Guide. That was interesting stuff.
It's intense, yeah.
Very intense.
I mean, it's very, you know, going home for the holidays is a real hot button issue for a lot of actors because you have to deal with your family, you know, looking at you and saying, like, how much longer are you going to give this? Mm-hmm. When the truth is that it's a career just like any other career. And, if you were setting in something else, you know, you wouldn't say, how much longer are you going to give this being a teacher thing? But becoming a teacher takes lots of years of getting credentials and all those sorts of things.
Exactly.
And nurses and medical. It's like, how long are you going to do this? Yeah.
And for some reason, you know, the acting community doesn't get that same recognition. So we just talk about how to talk to your parents and how to talk to your family and how to own, you know, your choice in life and help them encourage you instead of leaving, you know, then discouraged and spending all of January licking your wounds.
So again, it's called Audrey Helps Actors. It's a great podcast. Audrey Moore, we want to thank you for being with us. Godless,
so
everyone's talking about Godless. People who are listening, they can watch it during the holidays, binge watch, as you say, and listen to Audrey Helps Actors. Good luck with hopefully another season of Godless and everything that you're doing to help out fellow actors in the industry.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thanks
so
for
much.
Being with us.
Thank you.
You got it. Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Carrie.
Yes.
You were an actor.
I was.
And you're still, you know, very active with all your friends
now
and
I do
behind
it for fun
the scenes
because I love
and
it. Yeah.
Doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you, next week we are doing a show on the best of Gervie's Law, and we have a few choice interviews. In your best acting interview or audition, tell everyone why they should listen next week.
Why they should listen? It's a fun show. It's the best of the best. You know, we have so much fun on the show. Not only is there a lot of law talk and there's a lot of information there, we veer from that. And I think that's what keeps this law show very fun, very listenable. And I think the ones that you picked, some of them are really funny.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, LeVar Ball next week and, we have Gloria Allred, who's on a lot and she may be playing a very important role next year, with the Summer Zervos, lawsuit against Donald Trump. See where that goes, if it goes anywhere.
Yeah, you know me. I don't necessarily agree with all of her politics or the cases she takes on, but I believe that she believes in them 100%. Very different from her daughter, I believe. She really believes in what she does, and I admire that.
Well, I want to wish you, Carrie, a happy holidays to your family.
Happy holidays. Did you have a good Hanukkah?
I did.
Good.
Everything's great, and looking forward to leaving to get into the cold weather. Most people are looking forward to going to the warm weather. I'm looking forward to going to the cold weather. Don't miss Gervie's Law, the best of next week. Have a happy holiday, happy new year, and we're looking forward to a great year in 2018.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.